They had a sleepover last night at our house. But we went somewhere else. Because we wanted to rest, and you wanted to hear a preacher preach without going to sleep. And so, anyway, good to have you guys here this morning. So hopefully I'll keep you awake as well. But good to see all of you this morning. We've been going through the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 12. But that's not what I'm going to preach on today. While I was sick, Hosea kept going over and over and over in my mind. And so I read it through. It's only like 14 chapters. It's a really small book. And Hosea, you don't hear of Hosea except in this passage, in his prophecy, these 14 short chapters. However, Paul does mention him one time in Romans chapter 9. And so, anyway, I'll kind of give you a background of Hosea. Hosea was a preacher. And probably like most teenagers, they're praying for the right spouse. God, send me someone that's going to complete me. Send me someone who's going to be a helpmate for me. God, help me to find that one person whom you have prepared for me. How many of you have ever prayed a prayer similar to that? Okay. Well, I'm sure that, I mean, it doesn't say that's what Hosea was praying. If Mama was probably praying for him as well. You prayed that prayer. Well, this book of Hosea is a love story. Probably one of the greatest love stories in Scripture. However, the love story has to do with a preacher who loves his wife unconditionally, but his wife doesn't reciprocate the love. It's a sad story. But we find this preacher, Hosea, no matter what his wife does, he's going to continue to love her and continue to love her and continue to love her and continue to love her no matter what. It's a picture of God's love for the children of Israel. It's also a picture of God's love for you and I. And so it's a heartbreaking story. But it's also a glimpse into the awesome love relationship that God wants to have with each of His creations. So here's what was going on. As a matter of fact, why don't we just begin reading the first two verses of Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That's all we're going to, well, not all we'll read, but for our text this morning. We're going to read Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And it kind of gives you a background and of everything else that's going to take place in the book of Hosea. So let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Libby, would you like to read for us this morning? You don't have to. Okay. Samuel, would you like to read for us this morning? You're good. Okay, I'll read it myself. All right. So you read along. The Lord gave this message to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution." This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. Wow. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you today. Lord, there's probably some here today who have experienced heart-wrenching, broken love. God, I can't even imagine what that pain must be like, not only for Hosea, and not only for those individuals who are here, but for you. Well, all you want to do is pour out your love. And yet there are some people who are unable to receive it or unwilling to receive it. So, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture today, I pray that, God, you would reveal our heart. And, Lord, for those who have broken hearts over unrequited love, God, I pray that you would heal them today. So, Lord, we ask these things Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So God tells Hosea, so Hosea is probably praying, "God, send me a perfect mate." And God says, "Okay, Hosea, I've got a mate for you." And Hosea's thinking, "Woohoo! Come on! Thank you, Lord!" He says, "I want you to go marry a lady, a harlot, a prostitute." And I'm sure he's thinking, "Did I hear you correctly?" That's what I would be asking. "Lord, are you sure that I'm hearing you correctly? That I'm to, yes, I want you to go marry a lady named Gomer." Now, to us, that's kind of a funny name because we think of Gomer Pyle. But Gomer actually means completeness. That's what her name means. It's completeness. And so he tells Hosea, he says, "I want you to go marry this lady, completeness." And I'm thinking, you know, as if Hosea, I would think, well, you know what? Maybe it's not going to be that bad. Maybe it's not going to be that bad. But we find out, as we read the story, that Hosea marries Gomer, and she has three children. And probably none of them are Hosea's. Names one Jezreel. Names another one, "No Compassion," which means "I have no compassion for you." And a third one named, "You are not my people. You are not mine. You're not my child." Can you imagine the grief Hosea must have experienced? How that ripped his heart out. Sometimes a preacher can only preach with passion the message that they've lived. And And so what God wanted Hosea to do is he wanted Hosea to experience what God had experienced with the children of Israel. He's embracing Israel. Now, God, throughout history, wanted to show, not only show his love to a people, but he also wanted a people to love him in return. And so he chose Israel not only to bless them, but he also chose them to be able to convey the love of God to the whole world. But rather than Israel embracing the love of God and embracing his blessings, they began to turn to other gods. God said, that's playing the harlot. That's being promiscuous with my relationship with you. And so he wanted someone to be able to convey that message with passion. So he chose Hosea. Hosea married a prostitute. And the prostitute would continue, although they were married, she would go out and begin to have relations with other men. Continuing to go out time after time after time after time. And I'm sure Hosea is crying out to the Lord. He's calling out to him and asking him, Lord, would you please help Hosea? Help Gomer to get her life on track. Because she's making a mess of things. She's making a mess of our family. She's making a mess of our children. She's just making a mess of things. Finally, after three children, Gomer leaves. She's no longer in the home. No longer in the family. As a matter of fact, Hosea doesn't know where she is. After a period of time, because of Hosea's love, he says, I've got to go find her. I've got to go find her. So he leaves home. He begins searching for Gomer. He searches far and wide. Finally, he finds Gomer. She's destitute. She no longer has beauty. She no longer has a way of earning a living. She's actually on an auction block, being sold as a slave. So the auction starts. But nobody bids on her. Except Hosea. And he pays 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley for Gomer. He says, Gomer, come back home. I love you. I want you to be my wife. I want you to stay with me forever. And Hosea brings Gomer back home. What an awesome picture of God's love. As you read through the book of Hosea, you're going to find that God, as Hosea did, he begins pursuing Israel. And he begins to console Israel and tries to encourage Israel to come back to him. Israel doesn't. Here's what I know. God has created each one of you to to love and be loved. You were born with this desire to be loved. Every creature throughout the universe, every tribe, every nation, every language, every culture, there's this innate desire in each one of us to love and be loved. Every one of us. Anyone on the street here in Tillamook, you can know this, that they have this desire within them to love and be loved. And did you know that's God's desire for Himself? To love and be loved. See, everyone needs the love of the Lord whether they know it or not. Everyone needs the love of the Lord whether they know it or not. Gomer needed Hosea's love. She really needed Hosea's love. But she didn't realize it. And here's what I know. You will never, ever feel complete in your life until you receive the love of God through Jesus Christ. You can search. There's an old country song that says, I've searched for love in all the wrong places. Okay? I would sing it for you, but we don't have time. And that's what Gomer was doing. She was searching for love in all the wrong places. And her true love was actually in the arms of the one whom the Lord had provided for her. That's where true love actually was. Here's another thought. Not only will you never feel complete until you experience the love of God through Jesus Christ, you will never, neither will you ever feel complete until you learn to love as Hosea loved. Until you can come to a place in your life where you can lay yourself down and just love. Because you've been loved. You will never feel complete until you can do that. So I think of Gomer. Why is it that some are unwilling or unable to receive God's love? I want to know why Gomer couldn't receive Hosea's love. What is it that causes that? There are some people who are unwilling or either unable to receive the love of God. Here's some thoughts. Did you know that broken people have a hard time receiving God's love? It's amazing to me that as brokenhearted as probably Hosea was, he never gave up on God's love. As a matter of fact, even though he felt brokenhearted, I'm sure he knew that the only place to fill that void in his life was love relationship with the Father. He knew that his supply wasn't Gomer, but his supply was the Father. And so, Gomer, I'm thinking, and I don't know this, we don't have a lot of background story for Gomer. We don't have a lot of background for her. I wish we did. But I have met broken men and women. And probably without any exception, every one of them have a difficult time receiving the love of God. because somebody violated their trust somewhere along the way. And somebody broke their heart somewhere along the way. And so they quit trusting in people and they can't trust God because somebody broke their heart. Does that make sense? Okay. God did not cause that to happen. God did not cause your heart to be broken. That was not His plan for your life. People can often be selfish and make decisions that are contrary to what God wants and it affects us. Okay? That was not God, but what He does say is that I can take your brokenness and I can use it. I can take your brokenness and I can heal it. As a matter of fact, if you remember the first message that Jesus preached, He said, listen. He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I can picture Jesus in heaven before Him coming to earth. And God saying to Him, Son, when you get to earth, listen to me. When you get to earth, I want you to heal the brokenhearted. Are you listening, Son? Yes, Dad, I'm listening. Look at me in the eyes, Son, because I really want you to hear this. When you get to earth, heal the brokenhearted. Hearted. Yes, Dad. I'll heal the brokenhearted. What did I tell you, son? You told me when I get to earth to heal the brokenhearted. Son, what are you going to do when you get to earth? Dad, I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. That was the first thing He preached. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to heal the brokenhearted. And if you're brokenhearted, Jesus is here to heal your broken heart today. But He said, you have not because you ask not. And so what I would do if I were in a heart, if I had a broken heart, I would come before Him and say, Dad, I have a broken heart. Scripture says the truth will set you free. And a lot of times people try to mask over that. Brokenheartedness. Everything's okay. Ooh, we're cool. But the truth is, that we live behind a mask and never really convey to the Lord our heart condition. So the first thing we must do is just tell Him, God, I've got a broken heart. Jesus, you said you came to heal. So I want you, what right now would you come and heal a broken heart? And Jesus said, yes, that's what I came for. I thought you would never ask. Yes, I will heal your broken heart. See, some people are brokenhearted and they can't receive God's love because they are broken. And I can guarantee you God will take that heart and He will mend it. And He will weave it in such a way that it will be just a beautiful thing in the eyes of the Lord and everyone else. Trust Him. Trust Him. Another reason, maybe a thought that I have, some people, how many of you have ever heard someone say love hurts? Therefore, I will never put myself out there again because love hurts. NFI, never going to get hurt again. I'm going to just barricade myself. I'll never let anyone else in because love hurts. Now, let me ask you a question. How's that working for you? I know, listen, some of you have lost loved ones. Someone perhaps you've been married to for years and years and years, and they've passed on. It's a different kind of loss. It still hurts. It still hurts. God wants to heal you as well. God loves you. And just like He was holding His hands out for and His arms out for Israel, He's holding His arms out for you as well. Truthfully, love can hurt. That's the truth. You can read the Bible from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 21, I think, or 20, whatever that is. You will never find God say, you won't get hurt. Never find that. But what He does say is that when you do get hurt, I'll heal you. That's what He does say. Every single one of us in here have been hurt in one form or another. Probably many of us in love relationships. But wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to run to someone who can heal that? Rather than holding Him at arm's length because somebody else hurt you? Don't hold God at arm's length because somebody else messed you over. That's stupid. Because He's the only one who can fix it. He's the only one who can fix it. Lies of the heart or false beliefs can keep a person from experiencing and receiving the love of God. Lies such as, I'm unworthy to be loved. If people really knew me like I know me, then they surely couldn't love me. I'm not even sure God could love me. I've made such a mess of my life. You know, there's a lot of people who carry those lies in their heart. Let's look at Gomer a minute. How many of you would say here today that Gomer really made a mess of her life? And knowing the story of Hosea and his willingness to forgive Gomer, and Hosea actually being a depiction of who God is, would you say that Gomer could be forgiven by God? Even though she made a mess of her life? Here's the beautiful, wonderful, marvelous thing about God. I don't care how bad a mess you've made of your life, God is willing to love you and accept you and forgive you if you just ask Him to. And whoever is telling you that you can't be loved by God and that you're unworthy, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And you need to believe God rather than believing the lie. Because God has more for you than you're even experiencing or knowing right now. And He's just saying, fall into my loving arms, fall into my loving arms, fall into my loving arms. There are many people, a third thing is there are many people who try to substitute something else for God's love. But they find that nothing else satisfies. That's what Gomer was doing. So, why would a person, my question is, why would a person knowing that God has unconditional love for you. To be able to meet you where you are at this time in your life, why would a person want to make any substitutes? Unbelief? Less common condemnation. Self-condemnation. You know, Scripture says that hope deprived makes the heart sick. And so here's just a suggestion. First, I guess maybe let me ask you a question. Right now, in your life, at this moment, what are you substituting? What have you put in the place of God's redeeming love? What are you looking at to fulfill that need in your heart? Who are you looking at to do that? Question comes down to, I think, can I trust again? Can I love again? Can I hope again? And the answer is yes. But you need to put your trust in the right place. You need to put your love in the right place. You need to put your hope in the right place. People may fail you. But God never will. So I have a question. Are you listening? What do you think would happen in your life if you were able to receive the love of God in its entirety? What do you think would have happened in Gomer's life if she had been able to receive Hosea's love in its entirety? Scripture says, love covers a multitude of sins. Love brings healing. So, as your pastor, as your friend, as your brother in Christ, I want to encourage you this next week to embrace the love of Christ in its entirety. A lot of people are afraid to put themselves out there because of the hurt they've received in the past. They're afraid to put themselves out there. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Of what? Of love and a sound mind. So fear can rob you of love. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither fears for today, nor of worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. One final passage is found in Hosea chapter 10, 12. And actually, here's a key to being able to receive and experience the love of God. Are you ready? Sow to yourselves righteousness and reap faithful love. Break up the fallow or the untilled ground. It is time to seek the Lord until He comes and sends righteousness upon you like rain. You've plowed wickedness and reaped injustice. You've eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way. How many of you would just say, without going beyond just the surface of what I'm saying, how many of you would like to receive the love of God in its entirety? I think that's all of us. He said, this is what you need to do. You need to repent. If you were a Gomer, it would look like this. Husband, I'm really, really sorry. Seeking other gods. Seeking other husbands. Or being a prostitute. I am really sorry for putting other things in front of you, for substituting your truth for a lie. Will you forgive me? Will you forgive? What do you, if we were to come with that kind of heart, what do you think God would say? No! Get away from me! You're too yucky. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the one thing that keeps us from experiencing the love of Christ is harboring sin in our life. It's not that God doesn't love us. He still loves us. He loves us unconditionally, just like Hosea did Gomer. But we're unable to experience His love and unable to embrace His love because we put substitutes in our life. This morning, the Lord is calling you to His embrace. He's calling you to a love relationship. You were created for this. You were created for this. You were created for this. That's why you're here today. To have that love relationship. So I'm going to pray for you right now. And I'm going to ask the Lord to reveal to you anything that's hindering you from being able to experience that love relationship. And He's going to drop some things in your head, perhaps. And in so doing, He's going to be asking you, will you turn away from that? Will you ask my forgiveness? Will you repent and turn to me? Then you have a choice to make, whether you want to continue to substitute His love or whether you want to walk in His embrace. That's your choice. So are you ready? All right. So let's pray. Father, I come before You today.